Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
All Friday here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Get at us on the CNG Twitter line at Mike Golic Jr. at Chris Canty 99. And conference championship weekend is upon us, Gojo. And of course, it highlights two of the best and brightest young minds, young offensive minds in the NFL today, that being Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. And since they're in the NFC West, these two coaches face off at a minimum twice every single season. And of late, Kyle Shanahan has had Sean McVay's number. You're talking about winning the last six matchups that the two have played against each other. Now, this time around is a little bit different. This season has been a little bit different because the Rams now have Matt Stafford as their quarterback versus Jared Goff. But I don't know that the result on Sunday is going to be that much different, even though we're talking about the stakes being that much greater. And so the question becomes, if Sean McVay were to lose to Kyle Shanahan for a seventh straight time, what does that say about Sean McVay?
It says he's probably in a fair amount of trouble here, Chris, because the biggest thing, and I talked about this off the top of the show before you got here, you brought up all the similarities between these two teams yesterday, the way that they were built, but the biggest difference in the way that they've been constructed, one through the draft and one through going out and getting a lot of free agents, strapping them onto the side of this thing. And it just feels like, Chris, every missed opportunity for the Rams is that much more dire because they've already sought off their future to buy the present. They're already paying off one credit card with another. And so at some point, if they continue to miss like this, Kyle Shanahan's just getting to the beginning of the cycle that the Rams got on with Matthew Stafford. They drafted their guy. They're going to have a rookie quarterback contract to work with in Trey Lance starting next year. And so all of this structure he's continued to be able to build around him through the draft, that to me, Chris, looks like a lot more longevity. And so they've got that on their side if you're Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers in a way that doesn't feel like it's there for Sean McVay. So a lot of people, I don't think, are going to ask if Sean McVay is a good coach or if the Rams should get rid of him, but they're going to ask if they're going to be capable of doing high-level winning here going into the future as the NFC West continues to change shape and you've got a team that's mortgaged its future to live in the now.
Yeah, that's the thing. If the Rams, over the course of the Matt Stafford contract, which is the next couple of years, if they're not able to parlay all of the moves that they've made out the last few seasons to put this team together, if they can't turn that into a championship, then I think people are having serious questions about Sean McVay's coaching ability, but also the organization's philosophy when it comes to drafting and developing players. They look at draft picks as fun coupons. They go out and they get the flashy new toy, and they are willing to mortgage whatever draft capital they have in the future to try to win in the here and now. And if it doesn't work out in the way of championships, you're thinking at the end of Matt Stafford's shelf life, you're talking about a really big drop-off in your division, because let's not forget the Arizona Cardinals in all of this as well. So if San Francisco with the lame duck quarterback can find a way to get to the Super Bowl, and then knowing that Kyle Shanahan's going to have an even more talented quarterback moving forward and what Trey Lance can do just based off of sheer physical ability, you could be talking about the Rams, who have won the division, what, three out of the last 5 years, all of a sudden being no better than third best in the NFC West.
Yeah, and this, you talk about the future, Chris, goes into their cap space for next year. It's all the problems that we've seen other teams have. Like, when you look at what Sean Payton just left in the New Orleans Saints, that was a team that was constantly mortgaging its future to try and capitalize on the end of the Drew Brees era. And it's not to say Matthew Stafford cannot be good in the coming years, but Chris, you know how difficult it is to replicate the kind of defensive success they've had over the last couple of years, to come into the postseason really with as few major injuries as they had at the start of this. Remember, heading in, we know that Taylor Rapp's had some issues there. We know that Andrew Whitworth missed the last game, but as far as having the entirety of their core intact, outside of Robert Woods, that was a team that largely had its core pieces in place heading into the postseason. And so all of that becomes even harder to replicate with a squad who's really been working off the backs of some older players at critical positions.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, look at it. Von Miller as your primary edge pass rusher. You've got Matt Stafford at quarterback. You've got some aging Andrew Whitworth, your left tackle. The guy's 40 years old. He became the oldest starting left tackle in NFL history. So you've got some pieces on both sides of the ball that you have to really look at as, okay, we've got to capitalize the next couple of years with these guys and before we're going to have to be forced to turn this thing over. And the question that I have about Sean McVay is whether or not he's going to be on par with Kyle Shanahan in being able to develop young, cheap talent. That's what it comes down to in the NFL when you start talking about sustainability and having a large championship window. Can you draft and develop young talent? Now, Les Snead hasn't given them that opportunity because they've cashed in a lot of chips in order to bring over some blockbuster pieces. I mean, if you want to go back a couple of years ago to the Brandon Cooks deal and send in a first-round draft pick for him, or Jalen Ramsey with two first-round draft picks, you've seen what they did with Matt Stafford, two first-round draft picks. The last first-round draft pick this team actually made was Jared Goff back in 2016. So I don't know whether or not Sean McVay can actually develop talent the way that Kyle Shanahan can because of what Les Snead has done, but nonetheless, it's still going to be a question mark that this team faces when they do eventually have to strip this thing down and move on from some of the veterans that are the stalwarts of this team.
Yeah, Kenny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Let's hear from Kyle Shanahan. He was asked, the 49ers head coach, on what the familiarity with the Rams does heading into this weekend.
You know each other so well. So it's, you know, we hadn't played Dallas for a while, so it takes a little longer to get a feel for the tape and whatever you watch, just as eventually you get through the week, you're going to feel different because you soak a team in more, and you can't do that in 1 or 2 days. It takes all week. But when you're going against a team like us going against the Rams, so them versus us, there's not much to soak in. We knew what the tape was going to look like before we turned it on.
And Chris, again, coming out of this matchup, regardless of what happens, Sean McVay can coach. We've seen him make some adjustments. Last year was a year where they had to put another tight end on the field more than he traditionally likes to in this offense. There's been minor tweaks there. Cooper Kupp's had this insane season. They were able to do more drop-back stuff with Matthew Stafford. I don't question his bona fide, but we know immediate pressure, whether it's college or pro, can make people act a little bit differently. And knowing that you've got Kyle Shanahan in this division who's just had his number in this way, it could make you do some wild things. We've already seen the decision-making there impacted by 3 years now of not being able to beat this guy. And if it happens now at the top in this most critical portion of it consistently, you don't know what that's going to make Les Snead and this bunch start to do, considering what they've already managed to do at that spot. Like, proximity to your greatest pain in sports is one of those things that could all of a sudden have you speeding up the timeline on decisions you make around coaches and quarterbacks in ways that I don't always think is advisable.
No, and I agree with you, but I don't know that the Rams can do much about their future over the course of the next couple of years. They are married to the team that they have in place, this core of players with Matt Stafford as their quarterback and Sean McVay being the guy on the sideline with the headsets. Nothing about that is going to change. They don't have a whole lot of flexibility in the way of cap space. They don't have a lot of draft capital in the early rounds. So this is going to be a situation where the help that you're looking for is already on this roster. And so these guys are going to have to step up and play big, especially on this stage. Now, the thing that would give me concern about going into this matchup is that all of the key guys for the 49ers are playing some of their best football. Deebo Samuel playing some of his best football. You look on the defensive side of the ball, Nicky Bosa, 3 sacks in the last 3 games. Eric Armstead, 6 sacks in the last 4 games. Dre Greenlaw, Fred Warner. Those guys are playing their best football. And so that's what it's going to take from the Rams. All of those guys that they invested heavily in have got to step up and make some big-time plays. Now, we've seen that from AD, and we've seen that from Von Miller in the playoffs. But Jalen Ramsey, let's not forget, he got burned by Mike Evans for a touchdown as the Bucs tried to rally in the second half in that game down in Tampa last week. He's got to be better, and he's going to have to show up, especially going up against a quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo, who's been known to give it away. And then Matt Stafford, speaking of giving it away, he's got to protect the football. And that's my biggest concern going into this matchup for the Rams, because Matt Stafford does not play well when it comes to zone-heavy defensive schemes, and that's exactly what DeMeco Ryans and company are. Matt Stafford on the season against zone coverages, 15 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. And you're talking about a 49ers team that played 80% zone against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. So that's the thing for the Rams. The guys that they're relying on, the guys that they've invested all of those draft picks in, they're going to have to step up and play big if they're going to have a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want to hear from you on the hotline about what we've got coming up in championship weekend. We'll do that coming up next and give you the biggest X factors we've got for the game here on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Friday on Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Tune into ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. And Gojo, right now, I got on SportsCenter, and it's Kevin Nagandi and Mina Kimes, and she's given her keys, her three biggest factors in the NFC Championship game. And I feel pretty damn good about it because right at number two, she's got, guess who? Arik Armstead. So I feel like I kind of know what I'm talking about if Mina Kimes is rolling out with the same X factors that I'm going with.
It's always a great cosign. Her retweet on Twitter, usually it's like, all right, I'm doing something right here. I got someone who spends as much time diving into this as anybody else on my side. That always feels pretty good on this one. But Chris, I got to give you that same credit on another field here because we'll give our X factors for the conference championship weekend in just a second and get some of your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN. But I heard a guttural yell during the last break as we saw the injury report for the Lakers game against the Charlotte Hornets tonight because we have got LeBron James and Anthony Davis out with a wrist injury.
I knew it. I knew it would happen. I tried to tell you guys, and I don't want to prophesy. I don't want to speak things into existence. But when he had that wrist injury off of that fall early in the game, first half, you just kind of knew he had to leave the court to get x-rays. The x-rays were negative. He came back. But you just kind of knew this could be the type of thing that could lead to AD being back out of the lineup. So Shannon started the production meeting, started the show, was saying, well, you got to feel good about what Anthony Davis did last night against Embiid, where he had 31 points, 12 boards, and 4 blocks. Yeah, I feel good about that. But how long am I going to get that? And the answer is not very long at all. So as a Lakers fan right now, Gojo, I've resigned myself to the fact that this season is not about title chasing anymore. It's about LeBron James at age 37 being able to win a scoring title. That is it. That is all that I will be able to hold my head up high about as a Lakers fan, that my superstar was able to lead the league in scoring. I think it would be the oldest scoring title champion that the NBA has seen. So that would be the only thing that I would have to hold my head up about.
Hashtag washed king, hashtag strive for greatness, hashtag whatever else LeBron could come up with in that spot.
Hashtag Chris, I'm watching the playoffs with everybody else.
You know what? I'm glad you've at least got the right framework for all this right now because it could be easy to come back in here and start to think this season's something that's not. This is healthy right now. This is growth, Lakers fans, for all the greatness that you've achieved. And so to try and help our friend Chris Canty feel a little better about that after we remind you that the NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow night. The Warriors host the Nets, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. Chris, we've got breaking news that might make you feel a little bit better. Because according to reports, we're waiting for ESPN to confirm this, but according to reports out there, the Giants are working to hire Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll as their new head coach. They reunited him with his, you know, former front office mate in Joe Shane, who came over from that same Buffalo Bills organization. So, Chris, does that have you feeling a little bit better about the state of the world?
I feel a lot better about it, Gojo, because we talked about this. The Buffalo Bills have shown the rest of the NFL the way. When it comes to being able to establish a program and develop a young quarterback, having synergy between your head coach and the front office is paramount. And we saw that with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, both of whom came over from the Carolina Panthers. And you've seen what they've done with Josh Allen. It's very rare when you have quarterbacks coming out of college improve their completion percentage throughout the first couple of the years in the NFL. But that's exactly what's happened to Josh Allen. And now you're talking about him being a top five quarterback. So I'm hopeful that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane can bring some of that magic to the New York Giants and get the most out of Daniel Jones, and we'll see where that lands. But if Daniel Jones doesn't end up being a guy, I'm confident that that tandem can figure out and identify the next franchise quarterback for the Giants. So I feel pretty damn good about this.
Yeah, Chris, this brings me back to what we heard from Giants GM Joe Shane in his first press conference talking about the team. And it was something you pointed out. When he was asked about Saquon Barkley and the quarterbacks here, he said, listen, our job is to go out here, improve the offensive line situation around, and make it easier for a guy like Saquon Barkley. It was an understanding that while he has respect for the guys that are currently there for this team, they want to build this thing the right way. They know how to build this thing the right way. And courtesy of John Mara, the Giants owner, he said the decision about Daniel Jones and company is going to be up to Joe Shane and whoever the new head coach is to evaluate and make. They want to give them the right resources to make that evaluation. But, Chris, that is something, so far from what we heard from the Giants on this front, it all sounds like it's moving in a healthier direction.
No doubt about it. But the next order of business, Gojo, is getting a bag of money and throwing it at quarterbacks coach Ken Dorsey. Like being able to have him in place because he's familiar with Brian Daboll's system, so he can turn his attention to being the CEO head coach and have confidence that whoever's calling the plays is going to be calling them in a fashion that would be amenable to him. If Brian Daboll, you know, wants some of the pressure, some of the heavy lifting in constructing the offense around Daniel Jones taking off his plate, having somebody like Ken Dorsey would be beneficial for that. Not to say that Daboll's not going to call plays, because he could make that decision that he's going to do that. But you also recognize he's never been a head coach in the NFL before. There's a learning curve. And so it, as the CEO type, as somebody that oversees all phases of the game, if you want to take that responsibility off your plate, hiring Ken Dorsey and paying him a bunch of money to be your offensive coordinator, knowing that he's going to call the plays the way that you would want them sequenced, I think that would be a huge get for the Giants. Again, they said every resource would be made available to their next head coach. There ain't no salary cap on how much you can pay your assistants. So I just think that that would be something that would make a whole lot of sense for the Giants given the state of affairs.
It's a great point, Chris, and a great reminder. We've seen so many former Patriot assistants try and fail to replicate systems similar to where they came from. All you can do is set the table as well as possible. I mean, hell, all you got to do is look across town at the situation the Jets had. They went out, got a coach that everybody liked, got a young quarterback people were high on, and year one still wasn't pretty. It doesn't guarantee you anything, but all you can do is set up the pins and try and knock them down the best you can heading into that. And so far, I got to say, it feels like the Giants have done that with their approach to the offseason. So again, reports out there that the Giants working to hire Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll as their new head coach. We're waiting for ESPN to confirm that. We'll keep you guys up to date as we have got a very happy Chris Canty, which is good because, man, it was a long season for the Giants fans around this show. We'll get some more updates on that, but coming up next, we have had our friend Aaron Dolan come on the show and help us get our pockets right here. We will go on wax and make our picks heading into championship weekend on the plus side next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
They said we were nuts back in the fall of 1979, saying that all sports 24 hours a day would make it on TV. And now you say we're nuts trying to start ESPN Radio? We're dead serious. We know you like us on TV, and if you do, you'll love us on radio.
30 years and counting. This is ESPN Radio. This is ESPN Radio.
Fourth quarter on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average. And Gojo, we always look to make our listeners a little bit of coin. But before we go on the plus side, we got to go out to the C&G hotline and catch up with John in Iowa. John, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. What you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, my man. What you got?
Hey, I just wanted to touch base. I appreciate all the coverage you guys at ESPN have been doing this conference championship week. You know, I almost feel like Green Bay and Tampa Bay are playing this weekend against the Rams. There's not much love for the 49ers. Maybe next week that'll change. And you know what? I will roll with that lame duck quarterback over any of the other guys playing this weekend. You guys have a good one. We'll see you Monday when the Niners and Bengals are going to the Super Bowl.
We appreciate the call, John. He's saying that with his chest out, Mike. He's feeling some kind of way, and I get where he's coming from playing that underdog card, but I don't know that anybody in the media is dismissing the 49ers, especially since they won six straight against the L.A. Rams.
Yeah, don't conflate our lack of confidence in your quarterback, which, by the way, if you take Jimmy Garoppolo over the rest of this quarterback field here, I'm going to call some sort of authority and make sure. Like, John is from Iowa, so he's watched a lot of Iowa Hawkeye football, I'd imagine, and so he is used to a brand of quarterback play that does not incentivize you actually having to go out there and make a ton of plays. So maybe that's just kind of like the background and the context, understanding where he's coming from on this and enjoying. We're not here to kink shame, but Jimmy Garoppolo, for being pretty, doesn't do all that much pretty on the football. football field in the postseason.
Well, listen, man, his own coach and general manager don't like him. They burned 3 first-round draft picks to move up to take Trey Lance. That's not necessarily a vote of confidence in Jimmy Garoppolo as their starting quarterback moving forward. I'm just saying.
It doesn't matter what we say. They said it real loud. If you think Jimmy Garoppolo's mad at anyone in the media, no, I'm sure he's a little more upset with the folks in that front office. So thanks for the call, John. 888-SAY-ESPN if you want to get in touch with us. But now it's time. We got to go put it on wax here. We've only got 2 games this weekend, and we'll make our picks. We'll get you to those at the end of the segment. But we got some interesting props here. Aaron Dolan, our ESPN betting analyst, got us all hot and bothered on some of these other ways that we can make some money. So heading into this weekend, Chris, let's start this one off. We got a couple of interesting props surrounding what we many expect to be a high-scoring weekend. The Chiefs, Rams, and Bengals to all combine for 11 touchdowns. Chris, you can get that at plus 125 going into this weekend. Is that something you want to touch?
No, I don't think so, man. I wouldn't touch it. And I think both of these conference championship games are going to go on the under with team totals. So I wouldn't touch the 11 touchdowns, man. I think this is going to be closely contested. I don't think it's going to be the track meet that we saw on Sunday night between the Bills and the Chiefs with the matchup with the Bengals. And you just know with Kyle Shanahan not trusting Jimmy Garoppolo that he's going to try to turn it into a low-scoring affair. Keep it in mind, a couple of years ago when he was in the championship game, this guy only threw the ball a grand total of 8 times. So that doesn't necessarily lend itself to a whole lot of points being scored. So I don't like that one, man. I would stay away from it. I don't see the value.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one, Chris, which is funny because when I look at this next one, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, or Ja'Marr Chase to have over 125 yards receiving going off at plus 150. Chris, I love this one. I mean, we go back to the regular season when you had Ja'Marr Chase go for 266 against the Chiefs. Tyreek Hill's coming off a 150-yard outing in the divisional round here against the Buffalo Bills. I just think individually, there are too many great offensive players highlighted here for one of them to not go off.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And these guys are human highlights. They're home run threats. They can take it to the house from any place on the field. And so I'm with you. One of these guys is going to go north of 125 yards receiving. And if I had to put it on one of those guys to actually do it, it would be Ja'Marr Chase because I think he's the best wide receiver in the National Football League. And although he's not going to get you 266 yards and 3 touchdowns, like when the Bengals played the Chiefs in Week 17, it's going to be hard to hold that dude down. He's going to make a couple of big plays in this game. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think this is as close to a sure thing when it comes to prop bets in championship weekend. You got to get involved with this one. That's a great value.
That's got the Canny and Golic Jr. stamp right there.
Let's do
one more on offense, Chris. This is interesting. Most passing yards, Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes tied for the best odds at plus 170. Matthew Stafford at plus 300. Jimmy G a distant plus 600. Chris, the value seems to be Matthew Stafford at that plus 300. We know how the Rams want to go out and potentially win that game against all that zone coverage here. But are you willing to take the carrot on Mahomes or Burrow in that battle?
No, I'm not going to mess with that one. I actually like Matt Stafford too, Gojo, for the simple fact that I don't think that the Rams are going to even try to run the ball. I don't see that as their path to victory. They're going to have to drop back over 40 times with Matt Stafford. And it could be 50, given how the game script goes. So I don't see that at all. I like Matt Stafford going over going most passing yards this weekend over the other 3 quarterbacks that are in the field.
Chris, I'm with you on that one. Going back and watching that first matchup and just looking at Matthew Stafford's season, he's top 5 QBR on third down in the NFL. This Niners defense, for all the great things it does, even struggled with that in the first games against some long down and distance setups. I'm with you. I think the more they spread this out early, if you're Sean McVay, the better for them. I like Matthew Stafford on that one, plus 300 to have the most passing yards on the weekend for your value there. Canny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canny on the plus side. Before we make our picks, let's give the big boys on defense some love. Chris Jones to record a sack. You get minus 112 for a no and yes. So $100 is going to pay you about $89 on this one for Chris Jones here. Half a sack to me against a Bengals team that's giving it away like it's free tickets to a concert, that's an easy yes for me.
Yeah, Chris Jones got to step up and get a sack. And the last time that guy got a sack was when he had 2 against the Bengals in Week 17. So if he can't make it happen against this offensive line, then the Kansas City Chiefs defense has no chance of slowing down that Bengals offense. So, yeah, I think that's free money this weekend. Chris Jones to record a sack. $100 gives you $89.29. Go ahead and get you a full tank of gas, that premium stuff. Bet on Chris Jones to get a sack this weekend.
All right, time for the picks now, Chris. Let's start in the AFC. We know this has been the story. The Kansas City Chiefs, 7-point favorites. So Cincinnati plus 7 as the dog in this one. Are you willing to go on the plus side with them?
Gojo? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm doing it, and I know it's a hot take. I am rolling with the Cincinnati Bengals plus 7 points. I think it's actually jumped up to 7.5, Gojo. So I'm going with the Cincinnati Bengals plus 7.5. I'm going to do it. I know all the cash is on the Kansas City Chiefs. 74% of the cash, ATS, is on the Kansas City Chiefs. But I'm going with Joe Burrow. It's something special about what's happening with this team. And although I don't think they pull off the upset, they put a scare in Pat Mahomes and his Chiefs team, similar to what we saw from them facing the Buffalo Bills last weekend. So I am rolling with the Bengals plus the points. Put it on the board.
The Bengals have covered 6 straight games and 4 straight road games. They're also 5-1 against the spread as the underdog this season. But, Chris, Kansas City's covered 6 straight home games and is 7-1 against the spread last 8 games against teams with winning records. Ain't no way in hell I'm betting against Mahomes and this machine anymore. People thought I quit the narcotic earlier this season. I am back, baby. I am Kansas City. I am laying the points, and I'm saying they right the wrong from Week 17 and win big in this one here. Right. God, it feels good to be back, man. Let's head over to the NFC because this one, I think, we both agree Kansas City, we're picking them to win there regardless of what we're doing with the spread.
Yeah.
This one's a little more wide open, Chris. San Fran plus 3.5 at the Los Angeles Rams here. Who you got winning? Who you taking with the points?
Man, I'm going for 7 straight with Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. This team is built different. They're a rugged bunch, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And they're strong on both lines of scrimmage, Gojo. And that, to me, is the difference when it comes to championship-level football. I like what the 49ers are bringing to the table a little bit more in the trenches than I do with the L.A. Rams. And that's saying a lot because the Rams got Aaron Donald and Von Miller and Leonard Floyd. But I like the way that this 49ers team is playing up front. And then, of course, their skill position players on offense, that's a tough, rugged bunch, too, with Kyle Juszczyk, my former teammate, along with George Kittle and Deebo Samuel. So it's a little bit of a different animal when you're talking about this team. And although I don't trust Jimmy G, I do trust Kyle Shanahan to keep his quarterback out of harm's way. So I'm taking the 49ers and the points. And Gojo, I think there's enough value in this one to actually moneyline this one. I would moneyline the 49ers to win, yeah.
All right, 49ers outright for Chris Canty in this one, looking longingly at the money line. Chris, I'm going to go the 49ers plus the 3.5, but I think the Rams win this.
You were real nervous when you said that. You were real nervous.
But I'm picking the Rams to win this. That's my point here. I'm picking them to win it. It's become clear. They can't be trusted with a lead, so I could see this being a field goal game. But, Chris, I'm going to roll with Matthew Stafford and this bunch. I think they have exercised the demons last weekend and got a chance to go ahead and roll this thing all the way. Back-to-back seasons where the home team getting to host the Super Bowl in their home turf. So, that's what we got heading into this weekend on the plus side. Go out there, make you some of that money. Coming up next, we will talk about the Giants' newly minted head coach and newly minted beverage that Chris and I both have questions about. That's next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, it's a Football Friday, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Got to give a big shout-out to the guests that came through to help us preview conference championship weekend. We had L.A. Rams color analyst and former Jacksonville Jaguars running back Maurice Jones-Drew getting us set with the Rams and the 49ers. And then ESPN Cincinnati Bengals reporter Ben Baby getting us up on the latest with the Bengals as they get ready for their trip to Arrowhead. If you missed any of it, go to the Canty and Golic Jr. podcast, download, rate, and subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. But Gojo, we have now reached the portion of our show where it's time for us to go 3 and out.
Sometimes it's the worst. Sometimes it's the best. Either way, we'll get you straight with everything you need to know. This is 3 and Out.
All right, let's go 3 and Out, starting with the news that we got last segment, confirmed by Adam Schefter. The New York Giants are hiring Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll as their next head football coach. And Chris, I know you were excited about that, and potentially even more excited about this, because per Adam Schefter just a couple of minutes ago, the next level of this is from Adam. Quote, a beneficiary of Brian Daboll's departure, Buffalo's passing game coordinator and QB coach Ken Dorsey is likely to become the offensive coordinator either with the Bills or the Giants, per sources.
Yeah, Gojo, I'm all about being able to keep that tandem together. If we could have Ken Dorsey as the OC play caller and then Brian Daboll as the head coach and then Joe Shane in the front office, I like more of that Bills culture coming over into 1925 Giants Drive. I would be all about it. Again, it comes back to a word, synergy, for me, like just being able to have that collaborative effort, being able to be on the same page. I think that's so important when it comes to trying to develop young players, especially young quarterbacks. And so with Daniel Jones on the last year of his rookie contract, I think that's going to be key. But the flip side of that coin, though, if you're Ken Dorsey, Gojo, you got to make a decision between going with the New York Giants and potentially getting a bag there versus staying with the Buffalo Bills as the offensive coordinator play caller and having Josh Allen, a top five quarterback, as your trigger man. If I was him, if I was in the Dorsey camp, if I was advising him, I would say get as much money as you can in the offer from the Giants and shop that back to the Buffalo Bills and see what the Pegulas say.
Ding, ding, ding.
Go full Jerry Maguire, baby. Show me the damn money and then let me stay with the 6'6" space alien we just saw in the AFC Championship game. Canty and Golic Jr., this is exciting because Brian Daboll is one of the many of the bald brotherhood here, a bald bearded man getting a chance to shine here as a head coach. He is not alone in bald men taking over head coaching positions. Broncos' new head coach and former Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett not only proudly sporting his bald dome, but also throwing down the gauntlet in his introductory press conference, reminding you that even an NFL head coach, sex sells.
I mean, the people I got to work with, Matt LaFleur, I mean, I will thank him forever. I'm going to make a run at being the sexiest coach in the NFL against him.
And listen, again, this is just the trend in 2022, Chris. Bald is incredibly popular and sexy. Tons of women are saying that out loud, definitely in public. And I'm just excited to see the revolution keep going.
Yeah, I just don't understand where he's going with that. I know he wants to have a little fun with this one, but there's no way Nathaniel Hackett is going to challenge Matt LaFleur as the sexiest coach in the NFL. With that perfectly coiffed head of hair he has, no shot with the ball guy. I know, Gojo, you want to try to hold it down for the ball guys out there everywhere, and it feels like Ball is having a moment with the head coaching hires in this cycle, but I don't know if Nathaniel Hackett is going to live up to what he just spelled out. I don't think that's going to happen, bruh.
Listen, you know what? You got to dare to dream. Go back and look at Matt LaFleur when he was on the Washington football team staff. Money and a great barber can do a lot of things for you. He got the rom-com glow up. Maybe someone can do that for Nathaniel Hackett.
Well, maybe Chris, Hackett could go see who Brian Urlacher went to see and get some hair. Maybe that could happen too.
That fresh patty didn't hurt anybody. There's a lot of folks that have played some football currently in different roles that may have gone to that same doctor, but I digress. We got to finish up here with this beauty, Chris. Mountain Dew Baja Blast, the beloved tropical-themed beverage originated at Taco Bell, is getting made boozy. The Boston Beer Company partnered with Pepsi to make a seltzer version of the soft drink and is surprising fans with hard Mountain Dew. The only issue here is with 5% alcohol by volume, it's caffeine-free with no sugar. Chris, I know it's better for me, but that's a decision for me to make for my body, not for you, Pepsi.
Yeah, that's not a place where I feel like Mountain Dew should be stepping in. Like, you're typically one of those sodas that, you know, you just kind of let it all fly. I don't think people are looking at Mountain Dew to be health conscious. I'm just saying.
I understand we went through this with Four Loko. This feels like a Five Loko offspring. I understand what the caffeine can do. I'm just saying, let's at least try it out first and see what the hell happens.
There you go. I would be on board with that.
Coming up next, stick around on ESPN Radio. Spain and Fitz coming at you.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.